Well, good morning and welcome to Northridge Community Church. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I'm Pastor Doug. If I haven't had the chance to greet you this morning, I'm so glad that you're here to celebrate Jesus with us. And I want to remind you, I know that things have been crazy busy over the last couple months. It's been summer. Some of you are maybe just getting back into a routine. Some of us have kind of been in and out. I want to say to you today, I'm really glad that you're here. And it's our passion to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the really cool thing about this is that Jesus meets us where we're at. And He loves us so much. He'll meet us where we're at. He'll love us where we're at. He'll give us grace where we're at. But He loves us enough to not leave us the same. He's all about helping transform your life. So no matter where you're at right now in your faith, no matter where you're at in your spiritual growth, the Spirit of God is here and willing to help you take the next step. Would you join us on that journey? You know, growing up, I grew up in a great Christian home. Everything in our house revolved around the church. And so there was no option on Sunday. We went to church twice every Sunday. We were involved in all the youth programs and any kind of programs during the week. Our lives literally were surrounded by church. And I need to be honest with you, even as a young boy, I felt called to be a pastor when I was like 10. And being involved in church was something that I really enjoyed. But there were so many times where, you know, you just didn't feel like going to church, right? And being a part of a family that wasn't an option, you had to be pretty creative when it comes time to trying to get out of church, right? You know what I mean? And so, from time to time, when we were kids, we tried to fake being sick to get out of church. I need to tell you, it didn't work very well. My mom was like, she could tell. It was just something about her that she could tell if you were really sick or not. And so it just got to be monotonous, like a waste of time to try to fake being sick. Well, parents, I want you to beware. Because this week, I went on the internet, and I found this website. Have you ever heard of Wikipedia? Well, now they have this website called WikiHow. And so if you need a place to go and find out how to do something, that's the place to go. So this week I thought, you know, I'd test it out. Let's go on WikiHow and see how I can get out of something, an event, such as faking sick to not go to church. And it was on there. Not the church specifically, but like how to fake getting out of going somewhere. And it had an adult version and a kid's version. It was crazy. So I'm looking at this. And here's some of the options it gave for kids, step-by-step instructions on how to get out, how to fake a sickness to get out of something. Here it is. 2 days before the event, start complaining about a stomach ache or a headache. Every once in a while, rub your stomach or your head and groan a little bit. The day before the event, fake a fever. First, what you do is run a washcloth under really hot water, wring it out, and put it on your face for like 3 minutes. And then, in order to make it really red, maybe rub your face a little bit more. Then, the next step, get a thermometer and heat it up. And it even tells you how to do it. It says, take your thermometer and put it by a light bulb for a minute or two. Take it away, put it there, until you get it up to the desired temperature. And then show your parents. And hopefully you can get out of it. And I love this part. Make sure you move slowly and seem like you're dazed. Step-by-step instructions for kids on how to get out of something. So parents, beware. WikiHow is teaching our kids how to fake stuff, how to get out of things, right? There's literally tons of articles on there that can teach you how to fake an illness to get out of work, to get out of an event, to get out of church, to get out of school, to get out of anything that you're invited to. Let's be honest. We've all been there, right? We've all been invited to something or feel like there's a thing that we should be at when we don't feel like going there and we have to figure out, how am I going to get out of this? Right? In other words, what excuse can I come up with to get out of this thing? Right? What legitimate reason can I give them? So, we all know that it's not right to lie, and I'm not encouraging that when it comes to getting out of certain things, but in all reality, we can be creative when it comes to that, can't we? Our intentions might be good, but, you know, because we don't want to really hurt someone's feelings by telling them, hey, I know you're having some people over and you've invited us, but we really don't care to hang out with you, so we don't want to be there. Right? You don't want to do that because you know you'll hurt their feelings, so you need to come up with something creative. But I don't recommend making excuses and lying. Telling the truth is always the best. Want to know what the bottom line is? The fact of the matter is that the real reason we make up excuses to not participate in things is we feel like it really doesn't have any value to us. It's really not important enough for us to want to be there. If it was, we'd want to go. So in all reality, we think to ourselves, there's nothing that really excites me about this. It doesn't seem to be enjoyable. I don't think that that event will be worth my time or my effort. Let me make a spiritual connection. You knew it was coming. We are in church. There are many times where we make excuses about spending time with Jesus. There are many times where we make excuses about doing things to help grow our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here today and you haven't been here for a while, I don't want you to feel guilty. And here's why. Because we're all in the same boat. Even I, as a pastor, struggle with spending time with God. Now, you would say, how is that possible? It's your job. Like, you've got all day. Well, for me, as a pastor, sometimes there's a little disconnect of reading the Bible and preparing things for Sunday, for the message, or for whatever it is I have to teach. And so I can kind of skip over the part of spending time with Jesus for my own personal relationship, if that makes any sense to you. But there are times in my life where I look at myself and I go, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to really sit down and do my devotions, read the Bible and pray. Right? I've got too much going on today to take time out to do that. So in all reality, all of us struggle and make excuses about spending time with God to grow in our relationship. Here's the bottom line. All of us are challenged to become more like Christ. The goal in our life is to be like Jesus. And the last time that I looked at my life, I'm not close. I've got a lot of work to do. And in doing that challenge, building a relationship with Jesus, I can tend to make a lot of excuses. So today, if you're here the first time in a long time or whatever, I don't want you to feel guilty. Because we're all in the same boat. My challenge is this. Wherever you're at in your faith, wherever you're at in your relationship right now with Jesus Christ, the challenge is for you to leave this place with a renewed passion to take the next step. That's all I'm asking, is to take one more step forward in your faith. To eliminate the excuses that we make and to come up with some way that we can pursue Jesus with all of our heart. So we're in this message series called I Quit. And if you haven't figured out yet, the whole idea of today is that we quit making excuses. Quit making excuses about my faith and spiritual growth. Quit making excuses about not spending time with Jesus and His church. Quit making excuses about not contributing to God's kingdom. To quit making excuses about not investing in my relationship with Jesus. I want to let you know something. Some of you probably already know this. But my passion, the reason that I am here today, is to help you grow in your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I quit my job driving a garbage truck to come here to challenge you to take that next step in your faith. I share the same feelings that Paul expressed to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, 28 and 29, he says, "Everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. We warn them, we teach them with all the wisdom that God has given us. Why? Because we want to present them to God perfect or mature in their relationship to Christ. I work very hard at this as I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me." So as difficult as it is for me to stand up here today and kind of challenge you in this area, I want you to know that your spiritual growth and your faith is what keeps me up at night. But it's also what gets me up in the morning. It's my passion to challenge you, to help you grow in your faith. Now, let's take a step back and go to the foundational aspect, the basics, right? When you committed your life to Jesus Christ, you said, "I believe that Jesus came down from heaven, lived on this earth, lived a perfect life, sacrificed himself on the cross to pay the price for my sin, to provide me with forgiveness. He gives me his righteousness so that I can meet God's holy standard, so that I can have this incredible gift of eternal life." When I said, "Yes, I believe in you, Jesus, I have received eternal life, that special gift." But you have also made a commitment to following Jesus. Following Jesus is what we call being a disciple. Now, it's kind of hard to really make those two things come together, but it's true. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not just a believer. You are a follower or a disciple. So let's take a look at what that means. A disciple is a student or an apprentice who follows Jesus, and here's the purpose, in order to be trained, to learn from him, in order to imitate him and carry on his mission and his ministry. Someone who follows Jesus, a believer, a disciple, is someone who follows Jesus close enough to where they learn everything that Jesus teaches in order to become like him so that they can in turn teach other people. We imitate Christ so that we can challenge other people to know him, to follow him. So our goal as believers is to be disciples who are transformed into the likeness of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. We call that spiritual growth. Here's a couple verses that kind of go along with that. Ephesians 4:15. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, "We speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." And then Peter challenges us in chapter 3, verse 18, "You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So our goal is to become like Jesus. So we do that by following him. Now, if you read the New Testament and the Gospels, Jesus challenges people to follow him all the time. And we're going to take a look at a story that Jesus shares that kind of challenges us to eliminate our excuses when we follow him. We're looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. I'm going to read from the New International Version. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along there. If not, then you can follow along on the screen as well. Jesus says, the Bible says this in Luke, "As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.' Then Jesus said to another man, 'Follow me.' But he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' And still another person said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' And Jesus replied, 'No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.'" Wow. that's pretty tough, isn't it? That's really hard to read. It's like, I feel like to myself, I'm like, Jesus, that's pretty harsh. It almost seems rude and inconsiderate, not very compassionate, and certainly not very flexible. Jesus says, hey, if you want to be a disciple who follows me, someone who learns from me and imitates me, it's going to take commitment. Now, to be sure, the Bible really doesn't give us a lot of details here. It doesn't give us the benefit of knowing each person and the situation. It doesn't allow us to hear their reaction. And so what we need to do is we need to take that and just kind of put it aside for now and look at what Jesus is trying to teach us about what it means to follow him, what it means to be a disciple. What kind of commitment does it take to be a follower of Jesus? So if you're following along on your outline, the first one, following Jesus requires surrender. Requires surrender. The first person says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, the Gospel of Matthew has the same story and indicates that this person is a scribe, which is one of the Jewish religious leaders. And he's pretty gutsy, makes a big promise. Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Wherever is a strong word. And Jesus reminds him by responding and giving him a glimpse of what that actually means by sharing and saying, hey, look, there's times where we don't even know where we're going to be sleeping. Foxes have dens, birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It's a big commitment, right? If you're going to say wherever, then you better know what that entails. See, Jesus' response indicates that he knew the scribe's heart. He knew that he was only willing to follow Jesus when it was comfortable for him. Jesus' challenge here is a reminder that following him involves being willing and ready to sacrifice your personal comfort and your safety. When it comes to following Jesus, we can make the same excuses, can't we? Here's the excuse. I will follow Jesus when it is more comfortable for me. See, we're willing to follow Jesus as long as we don't have to take any risks. As long as we don't have to do anything that will make us feel awkward or uncomfortable. Jesus is teaching that following him wherever requires total surrender. Paul puts it this way in Romans 6, verse 13. Give yourselves to God. Surrender your whole being to him to be used for righteous purposes. I don't know about you, but I find myself being willing to follow Jesus if it's comfortable. The minute it gets uncomfortable, I might come up with a few things that allow me to not be there or to do that. When things get tough, sometimes we have excuses. When things get tough, sometimes we do the same thing that Peter did when Jesus was arrested. You remember that story? And Jesus was with his disciples in the garden, right? Right before that, he had a meal with them. And Peter says to Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, oh, Peter, no, you won't. You won't. And Peter says, Jesus, no matter what, even if I got to die, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, even tonight, this very night, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny that you even know me. You won't follow me. You'll totally deny that you even know me. And Peter said, no way. And we know the story. Jesus gets arrested. And he's being brought into the court to be judged, to be beaten. And the Bible says this about Peter. And Peter followed Jesus at a distance. And Peter followed Jesus at a distance. And Peter followed Jesus far enough away to where he could be comfortable. See, isn't that exactly what we do? We follow Jesus at a distance. Just close enough so that we can say, I'm following Jesus. But far enough away so that we don't really get caught up into maybe getting too risky or it's going to cost us anything. Far enough away that we can kind of be comfortable. It's time for us to quit making excuses and surrender everything to follow Jesus. Secondly, following Jesus requires priority. The second person is invited by Jesus to follow him. Think about this. Jesus invites him to follow him. What a privilege. But he responds with what seems to be a legitimate reason for additional time to bury his father. As I read some of the commentaries, it says, well, it's not exactly what it looks like. See, we assume that his father has already passed away. And he's just asking for bereavement days, right? Just a couple days to get things straightened out before he follows Jesus. But what he's actually saying is, my family, I need to take care of my family. I need to take care of my father until he passes away. And once that happens, then I can follow you, Jesus. In essence, what he's saying is, Jesus, I want to follow you, but not right now, because there's other important things that I have to attend to. I'll make time to follow you later. But Jesus knows his heart. He knows what the man is really saying. He's saying, I'll follow you when I'm ready. I'll follow you when it's convenient for me. See, isn't that kind of an excuse that we make as well? I will follow Jesus when it's more convenient for me. I know I do the same thing. I'll make time for you, Jesus, at the end of the day, right? I've done that so many times. God, I got so much going on today. I got to get going. I got a meeting right away early in the morning. I'll make sure that I spend time with you later on in the day. And what happens at the end of the day? Man, Lord, I'm just too tired. I just can't do it today. All right, we run out of time. We try to give God our spare time. And what happens with spare time? Does anybody really have it? No. What are we really saying? I'm saying, Jesus, you're important to me, but only when I have time. Only when it's convenient for me. You see, convenience has everything to do with priorities. We make time for the things that are important for us. The things that are important to us are the things that we put first in our lives. So actually, what Jesus is challenging us to here is that he simply wants to be a priority. Even a priority over our families. God is not saying, hey, look, forget about your family. Jesus is saying, look, I want to be a priority number one in your life. Even more important than your family. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says it this way, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and then he will give you everything you need. So in the context here, Jesus is talking about worry. He's talking about anxiety, the desire to acquire things. And he says, you know what? In all reality, seek me first, and I'll help you take care of the rest. I'll give you what you need. He's teaching us that the most important need we have is a relationship with him. What do you need to do in order to make Jesus the number one priority in your life? A priority over your family. A priority over work. A priority over sports. A priority over your hobbies, over your interests, over your friendships. Let's be honest. Let's take a good look at our calendars and ask ourselves this question. What is our number one priority? When we look at our calendars, can we literally say that Jesus is the most important part of our lives? It's time for us to quit making excuses and make following Jesus our priority. Here's the third one. Following Jesus requires focus. So the last person to respond has another seemingly good reason for not following Jesus. He wants to say goodbye to his family. And Jesus uses a farming analogy. He says, look, you can't go forward in a straight line. You can't focus on me if you keep looking behind you. Jesus is talking about the importance of focusing on being a disciple in a relationship with him. He's saying you simply can't grow in your faith. You can't deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ if you don't focus on him. Our excuse here is that we cling to other things in our life. We keep looking back over our shoulder. Instead of focusing on moving forward in our relationship with Christ, we got these things back here that we want to cling to, that we want to hang on to, we can't let go of in order to follow Jesus. We keep looking back. We're losing focus. Those distractions pull us off of our progress, our goal of becoming more like Christ. if we're serious about following Jesus. We need to look at the things in our life that we need to let go of. Maybe it's a sin or a bad habit. Maybe it's something that is just you're very passionate about and yet you're clinging to it and hanging on to it. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." Get rid of all the things that are slowing us down, that are grabbing onto us, that we're clinging to, and focus on Christ. Let us run the race with perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We can't focus on following Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength if we're clinging to a sinful lifestyle or we're clinging to other things rather than investing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. What is it in your life that you're clinging to? What is it that you need to let go of in order to take that next step in your faith to grow and become more like Christ? It's time we quit making excuses and focus on following Jesus. Now, I thought about this a lot this week. There are many times where I make excuses about surrendering all of my life to Jesus. There's many times where I make excuses about not having Jesus a priority or letting go of other things to follow. This week, I just really wrestled with it to ask myself the question, why? What is it? What is it that keeps me from growing in my faith? And when you peel all the layers back, when you get rid of all of the excuses, I found that it boils down to one thing. I will invest my time in a relationship with Jesus when it feels valuable to me. You see, a lot of times in my focus, in my relationship with Christ, I find that I do it because of what I can get out of it. What's in it for me? If I'm going to invest all my time and energy in this thing, what am I going to get out of it? Isn't that the way we look at everything that we do? What is it that I'm going to get out of this? How is this going to help me? What if we changed our perspective? What if spending time with Jesus was more about what we give than what we receive? What if we entered into time with Jesus by thinking, Jesus, this is what I have to give you. I want to honor you for being the creator, the sustainer of the universe, for being the all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful God. I just want to sit and admire you and give you glory, give you honor, give you worship. I don't want anything out of it. I just want to let you know that you're amazing. How would that change the way we viewed our time with God if we were able to balance our giving and receiving? See, I would think that we would probably receive a lot more if we spent more time giving God honor and glory. I love the way John Piper puts it in his book, Desiring God. He said, God is most glorified in and through us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So when we say God is most glorified in us, what does that mean? It means that if our aim is to glorify God, you will do it most by simply being satisfied with Him. With just coming into His presence and saying, God, I just love being around you. I just love being with you. Not because of what I can get out of it, but because of who you are. Because of what you've already done for me. God, I want to honor you and glorify you. So when we strip it all down, our relationship with Jesus is just that. It's being satisfied with just knowing Christ and being known by Him. By loving Jesus and being loved by Him. So it's time for us to stop making excuses. So today, on your outline, I've got some action steps here. Things that you can do to really try to take the next step. The first action step is to memorize Psalm 46, verse 10. Really simple. Be still and know that I am God. So I want to challenge you to take 5 minutes out before the start of your day to reflect on the glory of God. Just sitting in God's presence and enjoying it. Maybe you can set your smartphone alarm to go off throughout the day. Every hour, every couple of hours. And when it goes off, recite Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And then say a little prayer to God. God, I want you to be the focus of my life. Take time out to recognize the presence and the power of God every time that alarm goes off. We all need to quit making excuses. Start pursuing a deeper relationship with Jesus. As we pursue Jesus together, I want to share Paul's thoughts from Philippians 1, verses 4 to 6. He says this, and this is my prayer as well. I always pray for you because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. And I am sure that God, who began a good work in you, within you, will continue that work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back. The assurance that we have is that we're not in this alone. That God has given us the Holy Spirit to help encourage us and challenge us to grow in our faith. So we're in this together. We're a family. That's what the church is all about. To help encourage and challenge each other to daily follow Jesus. Let's do that together. Let's stop making excuses and start taking steps to follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so hard. I mean, we all really want to do this. We want to be like you. We want to follow you. We want to take steps to get to know you. We want to take time out during our day to really invest in our relationship with you. And yet, it's just, we're so distracted. We've got so many excuses. There's so many things going on. So we just pray and ask, Lord, for your help. Help us to be honest and to pursue you, to want you to be the priority in our life. We thank you, Lord, for making that possible. By taking the first big step, leaving heaven and coming here to earth to reveal yourself to us so that we can know you, so that we can see you, so that we can believe you and follow you. Help us to do that. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.